Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Well, today, as always, we invite you to come in as we explore the stories that live both on and beyond the stage, and of course to journey into another episode to discuss the inner resonance of human experiences and how dance lives and breathes within those spaces. And today I am so thrilled to welcome back to the program Natasha Powell, artistic director and choreographer of Hall of Jazz, who is in the house and will be with me for the full hour. So stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Natasha Powell right after this. To Turnout Radio, I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Natasha Powell, is a Toronto native who has been working in the dance industry for 20 years. Her soulful approach to movement that transcends genre can be seen and felt in her dancing, choreography, and teachings. Now, in 2016, she founded the award-winning company Hall of Jazz, a home and a meeting place for practitioners in jazz and street dance forms, to create works in collaboration with designers and musicians. Natasha's choreographic language has led her to collaborate with the National Ballet of Canada and on theater projects with Canadian Stage and Tarragon Theater. Natasha is a 2023 recipient of the Joanna Metcalf Prize in the Performing Arts, presented by the Metcalf Foundation, and I am so thrilled to welcome her back to the show. Please join me in welcoming Natasha Powell. Natasha, welcome to Turnout Radio.
Hi, Nicole. Nice to see you.
It's so nice to see you. Look at me. I am just smiling from ear to ear because I so enjoy sitting down in conversation with you. So great to see you. How are you doing as you enter into the space today?
I'm doing good. The weather is beautiful. It's shining. It's, you know, we're transitioning into a new season. So yeah, I'm looking forward to what's coming.
I just want to lean into that for a moment. The looking forward to what's coming says a lot to me because I often think about the newness and the renewal that occurs when spring happens, when summer happens. And so when you say looking forward, is there anything specifically that's sitting with you, that's resonating with you in this season?
Yeah. Not too much, but obviously, yeah, like the Mother Nature and her transition out of a really long winter into spring and blossoming. But also Hall of Jazz is just turned 10 years old. And so I've been thinking a lot about reflecting on what has happened in the past 10 years, but also what I'm thinking about in the future and what the possibilities are. And so those are the things that are kind of on my mind of late. So welcome to the new birth and spring and new ideas and new creation and all of those things that come with the change of the season.
Indeed, indeed. And congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot. It means a lot.
Yes. And we share something in common because Turnout Radio is also turning 10 years.
A lot happened in 2016.
Yes, yes. And so when I reflect on what you have shared and what it means to build, to grow, to flow, to move, to embody in the rhythms of just developing. With 10 years for Hall of Jazz, I would imagine surfaces a lot for you as you reflect and look forward.
Yeah, I think for me, the big thing that's been at the forefront, or sort of the realization and understanding where jazz dance lives in the Toronto community, I'm realizing now that we've sort of been a part of like spearheading and being an advocate for jazz dance in the community, even though it's been here for many years before we started Hall of Jazz, but to sort of still continue to be a voice that's facilitating those conversations for folks to understand the history of the dance, where it comes from, its relationship to the music, its rich history. I think for me, that's been really, I don't think the word is exciting, but I've been really proud that we can be part of that conversation and facilitate that awareness and education for a culture that a lot of folks were unaware of. And now through Hall of Jazz, they've been able to find new meaning for jazz music and jazz dancing.
And let's speak to that further, Natasha. Hall of Jazz aims to reinvigorate jazz dance with various forms of Black American vernacular dances as innovative and important vehicles for expression while showcasing freedom and one's own identity through the spirit of jazz. I'd like to unpack that, if I may, that very powerful consideration of the spirit of jazz. Can you speak to the ethos of what Hall of Jazz is conversing and is sharing through the spirit of jazz?
Ooh, that's a big one. And I appreciate how you've like observed, like how you've acknowledged that in the way the company is described. I think for me, like relationship to the music, to jazz music, has been renewed through the work that we do, really trying to find a way for myself and for other dancers to get inside the music and understand what's happening as a point of like conversation or expression, communication, or just being in community. I think of those things when I think of jazz dancing. I think of the performative aspect of it, the presentation, the showmanship of it. I think of the improvisational aspects of it, of expressing and being in the moment. And for me, I find a lot of times that jazz and jazz dancing is a practice in being present, like in being in the moment and being aware of what's happening at any given moment in time and going with that momentum and finding the rhythm in that. And so for me, when I started Hall of Jazz, I was very aware that I wasn't trying to replicate a specific experience or a specific time period, rather than be like I was inspired by it. And like a lot of people say, you know, the height of the jazz era would probably be the big band swing era of the 1920s and 30s. For me, being a Toronto native Black woman born in the 80s, there's a lot of other information inside of my body and inside of the peers that I'm close to. So I wanted to honor that and be honest about who I am as an artist and who I am as a human being and bringing that experience into jazz dance. Because I think there's a musician who said this, that our role is to understand the structure of it and understand the form and the characteristics, but we also have to find ourselves within that too. And so I take that to heart of me bringing my true self into what jazz is and hopefully helping other people do that too.
I recall having a powerful discussion with you in past where we spoke about the relationship of jazz music to the stories, to the dance. And we also spoke about social context and community shaping the stories that are being told through the dance. What are your thoughts with regards to social context and community shaping how stories are told through the dances that you create?
Yeah, I mean, like so much of the language that is presented through jazz dance comes from the ballrooms, the social dance spaces, the nightclubs, people's homes and rent parties and gatherings. And so that relationship to each other, I think, is also really important, as well as the relationship to music. So I think when I think about like social context and what's happening, I think we also have to think about social context in terms of what's happening in that period of time in the world and what's happening around those folks that encourages them to gather and to be together through music and to potentially forget about what's happening on the outside and really focus and hone in about what's going on in this interaction with each other. I take that to heart, and I take those experiences and I'm respectful of them. And I'm also respectful that those social contexts, maybe I'm not experiencing them, but I look to them for inspiration and for information as I create work that's not necessarily presented in a social context, but maybe it's presented for stage and in a concert context as well. So I'm always thinking about like, how do I translate these ideas that are created in social environments into a stage performance? And that's always something I'm always considering and thinking about. How to do the two at the same time, offer the social aspect of jazz dance through a proscenium concert stage experience.
Yes, yes. And I will say that over the years that I have had the great pleasure of witnessing Hall of Jazz on stage, I always feel that, if I may share this with you.
Please do.
I always have quite literally a profound experience of feeling that I am brought into the story, that there is no separation between what's happening on stage and me. Mm. And it is why every single time I leave the space, I am left feeling joy, and I am left feeling an experience that something very powerful and spiritual has just taken place in front of me and within me. And so to hear you share about story, community, language resonates with me deeply, because I'm so blessed when I witness the work that Hall of Jazz presents. During the course of your own journey, exploring, embodying, witnessing, reflecting, has there been any discoveries or new curiosities that have surfaced for you?
I think for like my own, like speaking for like my own self, this idea of surrender and acceptance has become something I'm really opening up to. Like, I think we talk about it as performers, this idea of like surrender and being open to acceptance and welcoming of what's there. I think for myself as a jazz dancer, oftentimes we're taught like, this has to be this way in it, this has to be that way, and it has to be done this way to the music. Not that I've sort of like flipped a switch and done anything different, but I've really leaned into the idea of like individual expression in that and understanding more about who I am, like as someone who's very emotional, very tapped into my emotions and is an empath, and I'm a mother. And so this idea of like caring and being closely connected to my emotions and being expressive of my emotions is something I'm finding more through jazz, and something I hear so much in the music. I hear so much expression. I hear so much storytelling. I hear so much very specific emotions that are being expressed through the music that I myself am interested in tapping into as well. So that's been really exciting to kind of tap in and really get into the fabric of the music in that way.
Ah, the surrender.
Yeah, there's a lot on the other side. There's a lot of possibility and potential on the other side of that, which can be really scary to kind of open up oneself to that. You're asking yourself to be vulnerable, which is the work. But I'm continuing to find that and wrestle with that. And that's going to be an ongoing journey. There's no end point of like, I've figured it out. You know, I see this as a journey and not necessarily a specific destination, which is what I love about this music that we get to create too, particularly creating to John Coltrane's music, where there is so much information and so much emotion and so much story with inside of his body of work. So those are the things I'm thinking about, or I guess the new findings that you're sort of referencing.
I am very interested in knowing, when you talk about the surrender, I think about how revealing that is, while at the same time I consider the freedom, the truth making that can come out of that. Well, I am so thrilled, folks, to be sitting down with Natasha Powell, who's in the house with me today. We're going to take a break and be right back with more of Turnout Radio and Natasha coming up right after this. Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, sitting down with the ever so fabulous Natasha Powell. And Natasha, in celebration of 10 years, Hall of Jazz, in partnership with Dance Works and Toronto Dance Theatre, presented the world premiere of The Room Upstairs. And I want to congratulate you again and the ensemble of Hall of Jazz, the presenters as well, and all on 3 Dora Maver Moore Award nominations for The Room Upstairs, with nominations including Outstanding Original Choreography, Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble, and Outstanding Production. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. A big team effort. Big team effort. So congratulations all around to everybody.
What do these nominations acknowledge for you?
There's so many different feelings. Like, A, just the amount of incredible work being made in Toronto. That's so exciting, particularly coming like out of COVID, where things fell downside for a while and we weren't able to see live performance. For to me to get back to this place, not just for me as an artist, but I think for the arts community as a whole, to make a return, because I think a lot of people didn't know if we were going to make it back out of that. I feel like the awards are just like one symbol or one thing that at least shows us that the arts are back and the arts are alive. And there's a lot of people, whether they're nominated or not, that are doing really exciting things to create culture and create art in this city. And so to be among that, I think to me is already exciting. So kudos to everybody, because a lot of us didn't know, like, to do a project with Coltrane Music was supposed to happen right before the pandemic. Like, we were 2 weeks away from opening in 2020 and everything got shut down. We got the call that this project needed to be put on hold. And we thought it was just going to be a few months, and no one knew what the pandemic had in store for us. And the project changed completely. And 6 years later, here we were presenting a new version of it at the right time, in line with Coltrane's 100th centennial of his birth. And so all the stars aligned for us to be doing this work in 2026. So I'm glad, and I'm honored to sort of celebrate this moment with everybody.
I'd like to reflect on The Room Upstairs, an ode to the indelible impact of John Coltrane as one of the most influential musicians in the history of jazz. And of course, a fitting tribute in the year that, as you shared, marks what would have been his 100th birthday. Through the vocabulary of Black vernacular dances and set to a live score that was profound, of some of Coltrane's most celebrated songs were part of the soundscape in the space. What was involved in capturing the rhythms of The Room Upstairs?
When I sort of pivoted from what the project was 6 years ago to where it was now, I think I just had, like a lot of us during COVID, had a lot more time for reflection and questioning what we were doing and what we were interested in and why. And so I still kept the Coltrane project close to my heart, but other themes started to come up through the pandemic and through being away and more deep introspection on my part. And I was really inspired that he had this space in his home upstairs. He moved himself and his partner Alice and their children out to the suburbs, and he created this space upstairs where he could go up there for music making and his own spiritual practices. And I felt really interested in that because I'm an introvert. I love being home. I love locations, and I love environments. And there's something about jazz that situates us in particular environments that I find are really exciting to create work around. And so I was like, how about we set a location in a creative space that's kind of inspired by Coltrane's own creative process while still being connected to his music? So I didn't want to create like a biopic or a biography about Coltrane. It was something that was taking inspiration for us as dancers to come in and use those ideas and those ways of being and incorporate them into the work. And then so when I was sharing this with my music director, I sort of gave him the arc of what I was thinking and offered him the pieces of music that I was interested in using for this work and how the shape it would take. And then he took those pieces and did the arrangements for them based on what was happening in the work and what the flow was going to be and which musicians we would be involved in doing that. So that's sort of how the room and the work kind of took shape.
I was reading the liner notes, and I shared this with you during our break a moment ago. I was reading the liner notes from John Coltrane's album, A Love Supreme. And in the notes, Coltrane stated the following, that during the year 1957, I experienced, by the grace of God, a spiritual awakening, which was to lead me to a richer, fuller, more productive life. At that time, in gratitude, I humbly asked to be given the means and privilege to make others happy through music. I feel this has been granted through His grace. All praise to God. When the room upstairs was being developed, and over the course of its journey of being developed to be brought to the stage, can you talk about some of the evolving vocabulary that you had that may have shifted over the years?
Yeah, I would say definitely the ideas of the work and how we were going to narrow the focus of where we were and what the ideas were going to be in the work. And music played a big part in that. Like, it's, the work is so music driven and the choreography is so music driven that they really fuel where the ideas can go. And then once we start sort of manifesting stuff in the room and seeing where a particular section or a particular vignette is going, the musicians were so incredible with responding to the moment and seeing where else the arrangements could go. Because they know the music so closely and so intimately, but at the same time, witnessing what was happening choreographically, they're like, well, how about we shift this way instead to complement what's happening movement-wise, or vice versa. Like, I really leaned into what was happening musically and then let that sort of guide where the movement was going next. But there was a lot of collaboration in the room, figuratively. I mean the rehearsal room, which led to obviously the room upstairs. I would say once I narrowed the focus of being in a creative space, having that structure gave up so much room for creativity and possibility from all sides, from lighting, from like the props that we were using, to like the music choices in terms of the arrangements, and then the dancers' choices as well. Sometimes it feels like structure can be limiting, but having that structure actually opened up so many different possibilities for everybody.
Polyrhythm in choreography and layering movement, textures, and ideas is something that you and I have spoken about in past. What comes up for you when I say the word polyrhythms?
So many things happening at the same time, but yes, continuing to support one idea. And I think in this work, the polyrhythms can be also like a figurative way of analyzing all of the different moving parts of the work, like the way the props are moved around, the way the dancers are moving through the space, the way the music is supporting and being the soundtrack to like the soundscape of everything, all the different things that are happening. So there's multiple things that are often happening at the same time in this work, not just musically or movement-wise, but the whole overall picture and shape of the work. So when you think of when you say polyrhythms now, and I think about the work, yes, there's multiple things that are happening at the same time that are all anchoring and supporting each other.
What's next for the room upstairs?
I definitely want to revisit this work again and find some opportunities for touring and to remount it and even get our hands into it again. Because I feel like whenever you get that first run of it, you're seeing it for the first time and you're also seeing some potential for some other ideas to be explored or expanded. So I'd love another opportunity to touch the work again and revisit it in that way. So my hope and the goal is to have it remounted and shared more broadly across the country.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Thank you, Natasha. Well, we're going to take a break, folks, and be right back with more of Natasha Powell right after this. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, sitting down with Natasha Powell. And Natasha, we're coming to a close. And I got to tell you that that I really want to hold on to you for another, you know, couple of hours. But I know that that is not... I cannot do that, of course. But I want to tell you, I've really been enjoying our conversation today as we come to a close of our conversation, and as you reflect now on Paula Jazz, the rhythms, the vocabularies, the room upstairs, what resonates with you, what sits on your heart most deeply in this moment and in this season of your journey?
I think gratitude is the big one right now that's sitting on my heart. Gratitude for the people that have shared this dance with me, my teachers, gratitude for any participant who's been in the classroom with me, gratitude for every collaborator, every dancer I've worked with, every musician I've worked with, designers, presenters that believed in what we were doing, gratitude for audience members that want to come out and watch jazz dance and be part of a community of people witnessing an experience. Just deep, deep gratitude for this culture, for John Coltrane and his music and the gifts that he left us with, and the privilege to create to his music is not lost on me. So deep gratitude for collaboration, for community, and for the gift of this music.
Well, amen to all of the above. Beautiful. Natasha, what a pleasure. It really has been to sit in conversation with you. Thank you for sharing time and rhythm with me during the course of this hour. Truly a pleasure. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Take care.
You as well. Today's history segment takes us on a journey to Hall of Jazz. Hall of Jazz is an award-winning dance company based in Toronto that explores soulful and funky approaches to jazz dance. The Hall of Jazz experience is marked by their cool and contemporary way of producing fresh dance works, all while inspiring a lasting love and appreciation for jazz dance and music. Now, the company's inaugural production, Floored, garnered a Dora Mavermore Award for their outstanding performance by an ensemble. Established in 2016 by artistic director Natasha Powell, Hall of Jazz was founded as a forum for developing and presenting artists that work and improvise together to create harmonious and transformative experiences. The company aims to reinvigorate jazz dance with its sister dances, including hip hop and house, as innovative and important vehicles for expression while showcasing freedom and one's own identity through the spirit of jazz. Learn more about Hall of Jazz by visiting halljazz.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Natasha Powell, Artistic Director of Paula Jazz, sitting behind the mic with me today. Always a pleasure to be in conversation with Natasha. And folks, if you missed the top of the interview, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.FM, and some of your favorite podcast platforms where this episode will soon be streaming. Turnoutradio.com is also where you can locate our library of interviews, resources, and so much more. To learn about Paula Jazz, visit paulajazz.com. Now, as chair of the company in partnership with DanceWorks and Toronto Dance Theatre, recently presented the world premiere of The Room Upstairs, which garnered 3 Dora Maver Moore Award nominations, with nominations including Outstanding Original Choreography, Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble, and Outstanding Production. The annual Dora Maver Moore Awards celebration celebrates excellence on Toronto stages and are the oldest and largest professional theater, dance, and opera awards program in Canada. Founded in 1979, with the first ceremony occurring in 1981. Now, the 46th annual Dora Maver Moore Awards, presented by the Romano D'Andrea Foundation, will take place on Monday, June 29 at Toronto's Meridian Hall, which is located at 1 Front Street East. Celebrating 221 nominations across 44 categories for theater, dance, and opera. Now, we hope that you will join us there for the celebration. To learn more and to access tickets, visit tapa.ca. We'll be right back. this brings us to a close of today's show. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. We'll be right back.